Okay, this is Jamie Gomez for our January 20, 2019 KPFK Local Station Board meeting. I am the chair, and I'm going to turn it over to our secretary, Michael Adler, to take roll.
Good morning. It's 10:48, and I'm going to take roll, starting with Grace Aaron.
Here.
Grace Aaron present. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Ken Aaron present. Jonathan Alexander. Jonathan Alexander absent. Singy Bird excused absent. Sandy Childs.
She's here.
Sandy Childs present. Roberta Eidman. Roberta Eidman present. Stephen Frantz. Stephen Frantz absent.
I'm sorry.
Jamie Gomez.
Here.
Jamie Gomez present. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Jan Goodman present. Stephen Kaiser.
Here.
Stephen Kaiser present. Maggie LaPique.
Here.
Maggie LaPique present. Ali Lexa and Rob Macon both have excused absences. Barbara Marbach.
Here.
Barbara Marbach present. Ishmael Parra.
Here.
Ishmael Parra present. Rezapur.
Here.
Rezapur present. Steve Pride.
Here.
Steve Pride present. Dorothy Reich excused absence request. Myla Reason.
Here.
Myla Reason present. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Lawrence Reyes present. Mansoor Sabah has a excused absence request. Polina Vasilyev.
Present.
Polina present. Fernando Velasquez.
Present.
Fernando present. Lisa Wong. Lisa Wong absent. Mr. Chairman, we have...
Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. Stephen Frantz is here on the phone.
Hi, Steve.
Yes, this is the call.
Okay.
Yes, Stephen Frantz is present.
Okay, so we have 17 present. And five excused absences and two absent.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, real quick.
Yes, Mr. Reyes.
Thank you. I'm just wondering where the audio is getting posted, because Terry Goodman, when he did it, he would send it to the LSP. I'm just wondering if...
I don't know about the audio. I don't do the audio myself.
Can you add to that, Mr.
It's on KPFTX.
KPFTX, okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Roll call has been taken. I would like to entertain a motion to approve the proposed agenda.
So moved.
Are there any objections to approving the proposed agenda?
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Reyes.
Are we supposed to be doing national nominations now this month?
Not until after the election.
Close on March 5th.
Right. So we do not elect new directors until we have a new board. So since we don't have a new board, we don't elect new directors. That's my understanding.
Is that according to the new timeline that was shoved down our throats?
Right, right. So because normally we would have finished elections by this point in time, and that is why we would be holding elections for directors. But because we have not finished the elections, then we do not do directors until we have a new board. In fact, normally we elect officers in December based on the new local station board, because typically the elections are done by the December meeting.
So I just want to note for the record and for the audio that that a violation of the Pacifica bylaws has been imposed on this local station board, that the directors that are presently seated have extended their terms illegally according to the Pacifica bylaws.
Okay.
So I just want to state that for the record.
And that's in your opinion?
No, that's in the opinion of the bylaws,
that's
sir.
That's in your opinion.
That's in the opinion of the bylaws.
Mr. Kaiser.
Lawrence, I'd just like to ask you, what would you propose?
Well, at this point, we're stuck. You have the majority. There's no way we can compel a vote to for justice here. So, according to the majority that is presently present, there's nothing that we can do. We're stuck with it.
Well,
we're stuck with.
I think this whole discussion's out of order.
What will be a vote for justice?
No. Point of order. Point
question.
Of order. Let's put this on agenda if we choose to battle it. Right now, we're approving the agenda. If you have a point you want to add to the agenda, so
thank
do
you.
It.
Thank you.
I think that would be a great idea. Let's put it on the agenda.
Second.
Okay. So, Mr. Velasquez, there's something you would like to place on the agenda. Can you articulate the item on the agenda that you would like to see?
We have heard an objection to the extension of the terms of these members of this body. I'd like to propose that we have a discussion to have a cleaner, deeper understanding of the part of the bylaws that makes it illegal or not.
Okay, so you would propose to have a discussion on the excuse me, let me finish. Okay. Mr. Chairman, please note Lisa Wong is here. She has arrived.
Yeah.
Hi, Lisa. I'm sorry, I got interrupted there. So you're proposing to place on the agenda a discussion of the alleged bylaws violation as it pertains to the elections.
Of the legal justification for the extension of the terms.
So
he objected and you said it was a matter of interpretation. Perhaps in the course of the discussion we have a better understanding of what the right interpretation is in your opinion.
Maybe give 10 minutes to it.
And maybe not. So can we make that item E on the agenda?
Item what?
Item E under 1. Would that be satisfactory for placement on the agenda? Okay, Lawrence is saying yes. So I'm going to say for the alleged
point of
violation.
No, you mean F.
Not E. I will.
So
E.
Three.
We'll go to F.
Yeah, 1E.
One E is, you have one E.
Okay, but that would go to 1F.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
just
one
F.
Alleged violation of bylaws.
I object.
Elections. Okay, well, we're going to vote on it. Okay?
I object to the position, that's all.
Okay, where would you...
What position?
Well, Mr. Reyes was in agreement with it. Would you like to do... we're spending way too much time on this.
No. Make an adjustment that it's after the reports for the public comment.
So,
it's new business.
3E. Would 3E be satisfactory for you, Mr. Reyes?
Yes.
That's a friendly amendment?
Thank
okay, thank you.
3E.
Okay, so alleged violation of bylaws. Elections as it pertains to PNB elections, to extension of directors' terms.
5 minutes.
Well, okay. As it pertains, okay. Really, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
We've spent more than 5 minutes just trying to place this on the agenda. Okay. How many minutes do you think you will need for this item, Mr. Reyes?
You can start with 5 minutes.
I propose 10.
10.
Okay.
I
put down 10 minutes. So that would increase the agenda to 110 minutes. Okay. So.
Excuse me. Mr. Chair.
Yes, Ms. Goodman.
I'm just thinking in terms of actually having the most benefit of this. if we would like to have this after public comments so that people in the public can public comments too, for the people in the audience if they want to chime in on this issue before we discuss it and vote.
It is after the first public comments. It's not immediately after the first public comments, but the public comments will be heard, and they can weigh in on this item.
Okay, that's fine.
So, are there any objections to adding this item on the agenda? Hearing none, it is so added. Okay. And the agenda is approved as amended. Are there any, is there a motion to excuse the excused absence requests?
So moved.
So moved. Are there any objections to approving the excused absence requests? Hearing none, so approved. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes from last month. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Are there any objections to approving the minutes from last month? Hearing none.
I'd like to abstain from that since I wasn't here.
Okay. Hearing no objections, they are so approved. I have 11 o'clock and 110 minutes would be 1 hour 40 minutes, 11, 12. That takes us an hour into the Rams Super Bowl.
12:30.
Yeah.
Super Bowl, yes.
Oh, not, well, playoffs.
NFC playoffs. It's at 12:30, it's only 20 minutes.
Yeah, it starts at 12, I understand.
Well, kickoff at 12:30.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
You could be wrong. So.
Mr. Chair, just a point of information.
Go ahead.
We've already spent 20 minutes on the item number one, so wouldn't you subtract that from the total time?
I'm. If you would like to propose a time, you may.
So 20 minutes before the proposed time, would that be?
Okay, what time would you like to set time certain for? I heard someone say 12:30.
12:30. I have to go at 12:30.
Okay, is anyone opposed to setting time certain for 12:30? Hearing no objections, it is so. And we are ready for public comments at 11 o'clock.
This is a comment about the website. And I did send this to Ali Lexa, but I also wanted to send it to you as well. As you know, on computers, there's a lot of it is text, right? Like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And there's also images. There's a trend on social media mainly to do more images instead of text. So you'll have people, the image will just be words, but it'll just be a picture, like a PNG extension or a GIF extension. And it's just a picture of words. But I'm not disabled, but my understanding is a person using a screen reading device, unless this image is properly formatted, even though sighted people who can read would see it as words, the computer doesn't read it as searchable text. And so I think going forward, I would like it to be a KPFK policy, maybe training for anybody who creates content that's going to end up on the website or in an email to make sure that that content has accessible, searchable text, which makes it easy for the disabled and the abled alike to be able to copy and paste text, share it with friends. Specifically, the item I saw on the webpage that was a picture of words was, I think, on who to call if you have a complaint about copyrighted material. And if I have another minute, I just had another comment. I know it's early in the election process, but I haven't received an email. I haven't received an email with a ballot. I did make more than $25 donations at several points in 2018. So I'm wondering how we can resolve making sure if I'm in the system or not. Thank you.
I think that you should elect provisional directors today to serve in the interim until these not very valid elections are completed or something else is done about them. I also think that whether you elect directors or not, the Pacific National Board has committees of inclusion at each of the stations. I don't think the Committee of Inclusion is currently functioning here. I think you should designate a director and a LSB member to form that committee and add other people to it to carry out the functions of the Committee of Inclusion, which is to make sure that there is inclusion of previously underrepresented communities in the governance, staffing, management, broadcasting, and of the station.
Good morning. My name's John, KPFK listener sponsor. I understand that some or all of Pacifica's accounting work is going to be done or is being done by an outside firm. So if that's the case, I'd like during the Financial Committee report for Financial Committee members to tell us how that's going. Okay. Well, whatever the case is, I'd like to hear what anyone knows about. Also, I missed the last two meetings, so I'm wondering if there was a motion passed allowing for a telephonic participation at a distance, kind of like spooky action at a distance, you know, like quantum. So,
quantum entanglement.
That's right. We're entangled. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Who's the last one
there?
Bella.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, thank you, Bella, here.
John just asked a very pertinent question regarding the financial situation, and I responded to Alan. I'm surprised Alan isn't here today, because he's the one that gets out the minutes from the financial committee, the finance committee, that nobody understands bookkeeping. So I recently suggested, again, over the years, for Alan and I to coordinate a basic bookkeeping workshop to be held here for at least 3 hours, and everybody should be required to attend, so that before we turn over any materials to an outside outfit, that we know what we are doing locally, what we need locally, why we have not received locally what we have needed, so then perhaps we can consider anything else. Not turning over our financial, as bad as they have been, to an outside firm, because that will really kill the bird. As a longtime bookkeeper, it just, my hair stands up when I hear that we are turning everything blindly over to, not only is going to cause tremendous workflow for that outfit and for us, and then on top of that, the fact that we cannot even reach our tail locally, how can we, and not even get all the information for the necessary current audit, how can we possibly entertain turning everything, putting it in a suitcase, not knowing what we're doing, and sending it somewhere else? Okay, I'm not going to kill that bird anymore. The other thing is that at a recent meeting at KPFK on the 12th, Saturday, of January, the PD and the executive director of Pacifica came down, and I appreciated that. And they're talking about strip programming. Okay. I have been fighting strip programming for many, many years. Not because of personality, mind you, although it seems it is. Ian Masterson, Ali, blah, blah, blah. No, it's because one person should not be allocated a block of time when 10 people voices can be heard, when a differential, a variety, a mixture of viewpoint, analysis, locally, globally. Now, that's logic, to me. I don't have to go to school to figure that one out. So if we're talking about strip programming, this is just overhauling the entire system. The format is already bad. And instead of looking at repairing it accordingly with the necessary resources, we're talking about creating a strip programming format. And then there was talk about KPCC alike or KCRW alike and the national NPR alike. That's what we simply cannot be heading in that direction, can we? Okay, and if you look at, you know, all going back to 2005, the programming grid. I don't know how many of you have ever looked at the programming grid. It's no longer available on the website, but I have been collecting them for many years and doing comparison from one season to the other, one year to the other, how we have been declining and declining and declining with membership because it's all reflected, goes back to the programming. And the Spanish programming was well represented at this meeting, but there was never any attention given from these two individuals saying, you know what, this has to be repaired. This situation needs to be addressed by management and everybody. I heard a little bit, but not enough. And they have been preempted during each fund drive. How can a programming block develop its audience without giving the opportunity to develop it, especially when they need to ask for money? The other thing is that ChangeLinks made a proposal to KPFK to partner up to promote itself on KPFK, on ChangeLinks. And ChangeLinks is growing. Has been around forever, and it's growing. So it's going places, and KPFK should partner up with ChangeLinks because it has always promoted a very wide community calendar, at least four pages. And this is where people come to see the events. Okay? All right. Thank you. I can say a lot more, but there's not enough time.
Thank you, Bella. Yeah, I had a quick additional comment. I seem to have had a knack of missing the LSB meetings that the general manager comes to. I don't know, just coincidence or whatever. But I noticed that the general manager is not here again at this one that I am at. I'm wondering if there's a written report from the manager that is sent to the LSB, and if so, if that can be made public. And if not, if you could request one at the meetings that the general manager doesn't come to, that there be a written report as there used to be. And that it be available to the membership. Related to which, I commented about the Committee of Inclusion, but I think that since this is a new year of this body, whether it's the body has changed or not, that you need to think about reconstituting your own committees as well. For example, the Program Oversight Committee, I don't think it's functioned for a long time. And since there is now a new program director, it would be advisable to constitute a Program Oversight Committee and meet with the program director and have some discussion about the future of the programming.
Rob, make an offer to head that stuff.
Thank you, Mr. Novick. Are there any other members of the public that would like to make public comment at this time? If not, we'll move on to our next item of business. Oh, please, Bella.
Thank you very much. The elections. The timeline has changed. How many times?
Too many.
Thank you. Now, do you think this is legitimate or this is legitimate? What's going on here? And, of course, it's very convenient for the current incumbency of this board not to give an update because it assures your seatings where you are going forward, regardless of the sham elections. This is so laughable. This is so blatant. Disregard for order, community, and ethic, right? And I'm running. But I'm running, again, Michael has said before, in protest. This is unbelievable. Is it a laughing matter, young lady?
Oh, excuse me. Let's not have crosstalk here, Bella.
Yeah, they're laughing while I am speaking.
Address the audience.
And that's it.
Excuse me. Bella, address me.
Because I said what?
Bella, no, Bella, no, address me.
So.
Excuse me, Steve.
No crosstalk, please.
So we need a report on what's going on in the background regarding the elections. And also, by now, people that do not have registered emails with KPFK should have received their mailing physical ballot. I know some people that have not received them, and they're supposed to be members, and they were confirmed members. And now Michael is talking about the rest of us, and I have not received a notice that I can go ahead and vote or anything like that, because we're supposed to receive a notice via electronically. So this just, you know, it requires order, attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. Any other members of the public like to make a comment at this time? If not, we'll move on to our next item of business. Director's reports. Let's see. We have Grace and Jan, and Jonathan's not here, and Mansoor's not here.
Okay.
So, no, Ken is not a director.
Okay.
So who would like to go first? Grace?
Oh, me? Okay.
Okay.
Sure. The election ballots, the paper ballots, I believe were mailed out on Friday. That was what was supposed to happen. I haven't heard a confirmation that they were mailed out, so nobody will receive them. Monday's a holiday. It's Martin Luther King Day, so no one will receive them until Tuesday, the earliest.
No,
Monday
is a national
holiday. So the email ballots will be going out anytime soon. To my knowledge, they have not been sent out yet. They may not be sent out till Wednesday. So it's not unusual that nobody's received a ballot, since the email instructions as to how to vote have not been sent out yet. I don't believe an email ballot is going to be sent out. Instructions on how to vote will be sent out to members in good standing.
On the site.
I was trying to search for the exact agenda and minutes of where we the National Board decided to not hold PNB director elections until after the completion of the election and the seating of new board members, but that was decided by the National Board last month. What else has happened? The National Education and Telecommunications Association, NEDA, which is the firm we hired to take over our accounting and to give us human relations support and also some information technology support, is an extremely well, it's a nonprofit, it's an extremely well thought of nonprofit. I believe they do management for something like 100 different nonprofit media outlets, radio stations, TV stations. This is not a fly-by-night organization. It's a well-respected organization. Of course, we'll have to see how they do, but we had failed for many years in doing our in-house financial reporting. Utterly failed. We've gone over this ad nauseum in past LSB member meetings. Hopefully, in the future, maybe we'll be able to do all our accounting in house, but it's just not possible at the moment. So that's why the board decided to hire NETA. Let's see what else is going on. The election is in progress, and hopefully it will be concluded soon. I hope that everybody does everything possible to get people to vote, whoever they vote for, so we reach quorum. That will be much less expensive for Pacifica if every station reaches quorum in this election. It'll be destabilizing if quorum isn't reached. I completely agree with setting up committees of inclusion at every station, including this one. I think that The National Board members, those of us who've been on the board for many years, we've been so preoccupied with avoiding bankruptcy and doing a lot of things on the national level. I think we possibly should have worked to encourage more participation in local committees by those of you here who are willing to serve, and also on national committees. We have national committees that really haven't met for a while that need to start meeting. For instance, the Governance Committee. We need to think about having people actively working on local committees. A programming committee locally hasn't met for a while. Our local governance committee is down to a very few people. We need to resuscitate that and get some interest in it. The finance committee has been meeting. On the national level, the governance committee, I think I said this, the governance committee has not been meeting. The election committee has not been meeting, and that's for quite a while. So we need, after this election is completed, to sit down and really encourage everybody to participate in a positive way to get these committees up and running. We need here locally to evaluate our general manager who's been on the job for a year. And then after that, after the program director has been in the job for a while, set up a committee to review, evaluate the program director. The programming committee, we need to have discussions in the programming committee about strip programming and have the program director attend if there's controversy about that and get informed about it. And because this local station board can set policy, programming policy for the station. I mean, it would have to be approved by the local station board as a whole, but still, that's an important function. So that's all I have to say, basically.
Thank you, Grace. Jan?
So I'm going to go over, perhaps from different angles, some of the things that Grace has just said, just to clarify them. Before I do that, I want to say that the personnel handbook, which never got passed, we almost got a new handbook in 2014, but it never went to a lawyer to be approved, and it never got approved by the PNB. We're now in the hopefully final stages of getting the new personnel handbook, which will address the things that it all has addressed in the past, but in addition, other things. Hopefully, we will have that on the agenda on the next PNB meeting, which is scheduled for January 31st, 30th, whatever, the end of this month. I want to talk a little bit about NIDA, the people who are going to be doing our bookkeeping and how it's going to work, because I was very concerned about, like, how are we possibly going to have somebody far away doing our bookkeeping. But just to give you a little bit of insight into that, the idea is that as soon as we get bills, that they will be electronically transferred. They'll be scanned and sent, like, through, like, automatically. As we get bills, it'll go directly there. So they get copies of everything, all the bills that we have, and they're able to deal with them from a distance. And one of the many advantages of this is that they have a more stable workforce than our stations have had. And another advantage is that the cost of having accountants and bookkeepers is less for two reasons. One is that you have a firm that's dedicated to that, and that's what they do. They're not, it's not like one person or two people in an office. And the cost in, I can't remember if it's North Carolina, South Carolina, is actually less expensive than it is for the same quality of staff. So, again, this is something that wasn't just like, oh, we're just going to send it out. This is something that the national office spent time working, trying to figure it out, and also the national board spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to get our books straightened out and up to date. And it's not just our books, it's also all of the other stations. So this is a really, it's a very big contributing factor to the fact that we haven't had audits. The fact that we haven't had audits has contributed to the fact that we have been missing CPB funding to the tune of $1 million, which would, you know, solve so many problems for us.
So
I just wanted to just kind of give a little bit more in depth on that situation. And as far as the elections go, does anybody here really want to hear about details about why the elections are so running so late? Can I ask? If
no.
people want, can I ask the arm?
I'm asking. I want to hear. Go ahead.
Okay. So the election. Okay. So the elections. We're supposed to hire an election supervisor in March of the year that we're going to have an election. In March, we were in the throes of horrible financial chaos, trying to figure out how we were going to pay off the Empire State Building. It was a mess. And we had Tom Livingston, who was our interim director, was very involved in that. And so he never hired anybody because of the, you know, big financial problems. And then, so we didn't actually hire a new person to be the election supervisor until Maxie Jackson came in, was selected. And that was another thing, we, you know, trying to find a new executive director. So we finally got Maxie Jackson. He finally, it took him probably several weeks, if not a month, to hire somebody. Then that person was so overwhelmed by the job, quite honestly, even though many of us have pushed all the stations to get their mailing lists in order, they were not in order, and that election supervisor just said, I can't handle it, it's too much, the mailing lists are in too much disorder, so I'm just going to call, you know,
crazy.
If it's up to me, I'm just calling off the election entirely.
He gave reasons. He gave specific
reasons. Well, he gave, you know, he gave very, okay, he gave very specific reasons as saying, you know, the elections are a mess. But the problem is, if we had let that, you know, just said, oh, okay, so he says he can't do it and nobody can do it, then we would be in a situation where we wouldn't have any elections, and then we'd be in even worse situation than having late elections. So the PNB said, no, we're going to have elections. We need to get a new election supervisor. The ED then picked another election supervisor, and we trudged forward trying to get things in order. And as a matter of fact, that election supervisor was going back and forth and having issues. And finally, but we were making progress towards the election. And finally, that election supervisor was replaced a couple of weeks ago by somebody else. And the second election supervisor had been the election supervisor for Texas. And then finally, you know, she was replaced by the election supervisor who had been the election supervisor for
KPFA and for KPFK. She finally has gotten, you know, everything in order to the extent that it's possible, and the material is supposed to have gone out on Friday. I don't know. Did you hear confirm that it actually got mailed on Friday?
I did not get that confirmation. No.
Okay, so we don't know if it actually got sent out on Friday, but it, you know, so the fact that people haven't gotten their ballots yet is because they, you know, either haven't been sent out or were just sent out. So that, you know, we should be hopefully receiving them in the next week or so. And so we have, you know, it's a very serious problem, and there have been forces who have, you know, wanted to solve the problem of late elections by saying we should have no elections. And there's been a big push by a number of people in various ways to just say have no elections, and that would be even more against the bylaws than having late elections. And, you know, and then another issue that's related to that, of course, is electing officers or, you know, and national officers. You know, the bylaws say, you know, this is the date that you're supposed to hire an election supervisor. That date, that moves, you know, at least 5 months late. And then, so everything got moved later. And, you know, it sounds very reasonable to say, oh, well, you're supposed to have elections in January. Let's have the elections in January. But you're supposed to be picking from the new crop of people. And if we were to pick, you know, new officers or new directors now, then, you know, all those new people would not be included in those decisions. And that doesn't make sense. The whole thing has gotten moved over. And I think that it's very important to not for officers and governance to extend their own terms, and you have to balance. And so I'm very loath to have us do that. On the other hand, I also think it's undemocratic for us to elect people, you know, when we have an election that is, you know, to either not have that election or to have us to elect people when the new, you know, when we're going to have new people elected, hopefully in March, I think March 15th, is that about the date that the new people are supposed to be confirmed? Because the people have to have a month to vote. So,
I think, so let me look at the election timeline.
It's in March sometime.
March 5th. So hopefully.
It's now changed again. The end of February.
Okay.
Actually, March 5th, the election period ends, but the final election results will be on March 20th because it takes time to tabulate.
Yeah.
And hopefully, it could be extended for longer than that if any station doesn't reach quorum.
Yeah. So it's very important. Anyway, so more important to get the elections done than to not have elections at all, which is what some people have wanted to solve the problem, which I don't understand at all. Anyway, so there's that detail. It is, and I'm just trying to look at my notes of what people have commented. Oh, so someone brought up the question of telephonic participation in board meetings. The National Board, the Pacifica National Board, passed a resolution that if people are, you know, located, I think it's more than 50 miles away, or, you know, if they're sick or other exigent circumstances, that they could participate via phone. And so the fact that we are having, in this case, Mr. Stephen Franz participate via phone is due to that PNB directive. Is there someone timing, by the way?
We're at about time right now.
Okay, all right. So I think that's my report. And if anybody has any questions.
I'm going to take a stack. Okay. Who would like to be on the stack? Keep your hands up so I can see them. Okay. Excuse me, Fred.
Fred.
Okay. I've got the stack, and once I go through the stack, I'm going to move on to the treasurer's report. I'm not going to take any other people for the stack because of time reasons. I have Steve Kaiser, Ken, Myla, Paulina, Lawrence, and Fernando. Did I miss anyone? And Raisa. Okay. And Raisa, I'll add you. Anyone else? Okay, Steve, go right ahead.
I'd like to make a motion that we request the presence of the general manager at every LSB meeting going forward.
Yeah, you're and out of order.
Why?
Because these are questions for the directors based on their reports.
When do I get to make my motion?
Later.
There is no later.
New business.
Yeah. All right.
New business.
I'm done.
Where
Ken, go ahead, Ken.
If I could get, I believe it would be Grace to give us a brief update, on the audits and payments of pension arrears at a national level.
Okay, the pension arrears. Are mainly shortfalls in payment to there. We have two pension plans. One is a 401A and one is a 403B plan. The 401A is a voluntary plan. However, the KPFK and KPFA have contributions, station contributions, in the union contracts. The two stations have different unions, and in both union contracts, it stipulates that the stations have to make payments into the 401A plan. So, and there had been not enough contributions made to those plans. The bookkeeping wasn't kept up. We didn't know who we owed money to, who should be, how much we owed. It was a big mess. So that's all been being straightened out. It's almost all straightened out now. We have, and we had to pay for a lawyer to negotiate with the Department of Labor because we were being sued by the or challenged by the unions and. Big mess. So that's been ironed out, and KPFK and KPFA have earmarked money to make those pension plans whole. A lot of work had to be done to figure out, well, when was this person employed? How long was he employed for? Et cetera, et cetera. It's complicated, going back in the records that partially don't exist or are hard to find. So that's the pension plans, there isn't any huge amount owed to them, and KPFA and KPFK mainly are obligated to pay them because the other stations either don't have unions or have very few staff, so it's not a big problem for the other stations. Okay, so that's the pension plan, and what was, oh, the audits. Okay, so even though only 50% of the requests for information have been fulfilled, usually the auditor wants 90% of the requests for information to be fulfilled before beginning an audit. However, the auditor decided to start the audit. It has been started. It was estimated to continue. This is the audit for all of Pacifica.
For
not
what
the
year?
Oh, for 2017.
So 16 and 15 have all been
completed. Right. 15 and 16 have been completed. So this is for 2017. We're late on that, but the California Attorney General knows that and is, you know, giving us a little extra time. It should be done by the end of February. And when the audits, when everything gets completed with the audits, of course, we'll have financial reports because that goes along with it. We have to know what our revenue is, what our obligations are, our unpaid bills are, et cetera, what our expenses and what our income is, what our expenses are. All of that information will be done for 2017. Then we go on to 2018.
When can we expect that?
18 will probably be started right after the 2017 audit is complete and should be, it's due in June. So probably there is a chance that it will be done by June and will be on time.
That's
at
the
that
extended
point.
Time, right, to June for 18?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the story with the audits. I hope that that's clear. I know it's complicated.
Thank you. Okay. Myla?
When did the there's an outside financial services company? Did they begin, or when are they planning to begin?
NITA. They have begun.
They have begun. Okay. So how does that affect the business manager's position at KPFK? Has that position ended, or has it been modified? Do we still have that salary to take into consideration?
Okay. The three business managers in Pacifica, there's a business...
I asked specifically about KPFK.
I understand that.
Okay.
There's no change at the moment, at least, for the business manager positions at KPFK, KPFA, or KPFT. However, NETA is taking over the business manager functions at WBAI and WPFW, where there are no business managers. So that's the story. There's no plan at this time to phase out the business manager positions at those three stations that I mentioned.
Okay.
That's
it.
Alina?
Yes, thank you. My question would be for either one of the directors, PNB directors present. It's about the last PNB meeting where I'm looking at KPFTX, which is the website where the agenda was published. This is public information. There was a motion to rescind a previously approved motion. I'm talking about the meeting January 10th. Teleconference meeting, there was a motion on the agenda of the PNB to rescind the previously approved motion for as of December 6th, which was to extend the director's terms, or that would effectively extend the director's terms. That motion argued that it's not only the bylaws that govern this foundation, it is also the California Corporation Code, as this foundation is incorporated in the state of California as a nonprofit. And Code 5220 of the said Corporation Code says that no amendment of the articles or bylaws may extend the term of a director beyond that for which the director was elected. So, in a sense, it can be argued and was argued at that meeting. Yes, there is that the directors are not only violating the bylaws, but also extending their terms, they're violating the California Corporation Code, which makes the foundation liable. Question is, what was the vote on that motion, and how did that vote go exactly? Who voted to rescind the motion, and who voted not to rescind it, and what was the final result of that discussion at the last PNB special meeting? Called for that purpose. Thank you.
The last PNB special meeting did not reach quorum. Did not reach quorum, so the vote, there was no discussion, no vote, it didn't reach quorum. There have been violations of the bylaws, if you want to put it that way, and there are so many, this year, because of the delay of the election, there have been quite a number of bylaws, irregularities or bylaws violations, if you want to call them that. It's a matter of the National Board trying to figure out what is the most egregious bylaws violation. Canceling the elections, of course, would be the most egregious, because that extends, then nobody is legitimately on a local or a national board.
Right.
So we picked the of the solutions available to us, the one that was the least egregious violation of the bylaws, and the criticism of the national board decision is there. It's easy to criticize, and it's a lot harder to put forward a solution. If you give me a solution that isn't more in conformity with California Corporations Codes and more in conformity with the bylaws, I'll be happy to examine it and debate it. But no solution, just criticizing a decision that was made that the National Board majority felt was in the best interests of Pacifica and in the best interests of nonprofits in general, nonprofit management in general. Okay, you want to criticize? Fine. Give a better solution. I'd like a solution, not just a criticism.
Okay. Thank you, Grace.
I wasn't finished. I'm sorry. Very, very brief.
Is there another question?
Yes, there is another question. As far as I understand, the bylaws do not specify that the board, the nomination of PNB directors must be done by a newly constituted board. Does extending the elections or changing election timeline somehow violate the corporation, the California Corporations Code, more than extending your own terms? I believe that our public should be aware that this is very serious, and then Pacifica is liable to be sued, and then it's the membership that foots the bill. I urge that we take this up in new business. Order. Thank you.
You are out of order.
Yeah.
I know I'm out of order.
Is there a question
yes,
here?
Yes, the question is, does the Pacifica National Board plan on taking up the motion that was not heard because the quorum had been reached, and when will that be?
Okay. I believe I answered the first part of the question already, fully. And the second thing is, there is, I believe, on KPFTX, there's a meeting scheduled for the last Thursday in January of the PNB.
Lawrence?
Boy, I tell you, I never seen so many fall guys and prop-up guys.
Question?
Yes, I'm getting to my question, Chair. So some of the statements that have been made in regards to Ms. Goodman's report about the elections has to do with the NES that made some recommendations and made some pretty solid recommendations, and those recommendations will be judged by the law. And the other thing is, why wasn't those recommendations taken into place? You talk about criticism. Right.
That's a question. Let's
I'm not done yet.
No. You are out of order.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Mr. Aaron. You're out of order.
When do I get to say my point of order?
When you are recognized.
What's your point of order, Mr. Aaron?
This is a forum for questions for the directors, not for putting forth philosophies of criticism. It's just questions.
That's kind of the nature of the beast here. Please, continue, Lawrence.
So, some chair? Some will call them criticisms, and others will consider them facts.
Okay,
so my question to Jan Goodman, if you, or Ms. Aaron, in regards to why is it that the first National Election Supervisor is the fall guy, then the next and the National Election Supervisor gets hired, and she becomes the fall woman. Now you got a National Election Supervisor who apparently is jiving with the National Board, and she's being supported, and she's making what I would consider decisions that are violating California Corporations Code and the bylaws. Now, that's not a criticism, Ms. Aaron. Those are facts, and those are questions.
Let's stick to the question.
Okay, may I answer?
Are you ready for an answer here, Mr. Reyes?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I got one more question.
Maybe Ms. Goodman.
Okay, so let's deal with this question. Okay, so those hit the problems that the national election supervisor brought up were serious problems, you know, that he felt that our lists were not adequate, or some of the lists were not adequate. Not all of them, but some of the lists from some of the stations were not adequate. His solution was to call off the elections. So that solution would be a much worse. The PNB considered it very seriously. That solution would be a much worse solution, because then everybody, the local station boards and the national boards, would then be extending all of those people's terms would be extended for a year. So that
or more.
Who knows how long? I mean, KPFK, you know, at one point didn't have elections for 2 years after we were supposed to have elections, and people, you know, were terming out. It was just, you know, a total mess. But so the solution that number, you know, the national election supervisor number one had of calling off the elections would have caused exactly the problem that you're discussing right now, that is people extending their own terms. So if we'd accepted that, we would have been extending everybody's terms for a year. So that was a much more serious problem than trying to get the lists in as good an order as we could and moving forward with the elections, even though those elections would be late. And so the National Board has been very intent on actually having elections and not just saying, oh, we got problems, we'll just extend our terms for another year. That's why we didn't approve of canceling the elections from, as you call him, fall guy number one or fall guy number two or whatever, you know, whatever we want to call him. I can't remember his name.
Or her, Drew.
Her and him. Anyway, so that's the answer to that question. And as Grace said, you know, that was a much less egregious
violation
of the Corporations Code, which Paulina just mentioned, then having the elections and going forward with the elections as we were. So I think that answers your question.
I'd like to also add to that. In the case of canceling the election and having both delegates and directors extend their terms for more than a year, because the election that would have delayed new board members being seated for well over a year, that would have been an outright violation of California Corporations Codes, and would have had much worse legal consequences if a lawsuit was brought for not having elections and extending directors and delegates' terms. In the case of extending the terms for a few months pending the results of an election, the judges would most likely say, well, okay, this is reasonable because Pacifica is making a good faith effort after facing so much financial and other catastrophes this year in holding an election and fulfilling these California Corporation Code obligations to hold elections and seat new delegates and new directors. So it's a completely different. One is a much more egregious violation of California Corporations Codes. That is extending terms indefinitely or just temporarily extending codes, but making a good faith effort to hold the elections and to make sure that those seats are validly held by newly elected delegates and directors. So legally, it's just much more. There's much more liability to canceling an election, extending terms indefinitely, to just for a very temporary period of time extending them.
There's one more point that's important to note. And that is that the California Corporations Code also states that directors are to retain their seats
until new electors, new people are elected to replace them. So that is, and by the way, LSV members are also directors under the corporations code.
Yeah, so six of us here today have turned down.
Pardon?
Six of us here today have turned down.
Next question.
You got another question?
I told you
we're going way over on this
okay.
section. I told you I did. It's
okay,
a really distinct question.
So anyway, so there's that.
Is that the okay, directors?
Laura, please, I want to hear your next question.
Thank you.
Please,
I appreciate you wanting to hear that, Chair. So two questions. It's
two questions.
Right, two questions in one.
Five.
It's a compound seven. Question. So the FJC, what does that stand for? And why wasn't the NES recommendations follow in regards, if you're compromising the elections and you're so concerned, why was the NES recommendations about and why he suggested and recommended canceling the elections or maybe having two elections in one the following year?
What are you talking about? I don't understand.
What am I talking about?
I don't understand.
Did I speak English?
You want me to say it in Spanish?
Okay, what does FJC stand for?
Right.
Okay, our chair, Nancy Sorden,
I'm just asking you, not
requested FJC. That
okay,
we right. requested that we don't publicize the name or any information about the lender. That was her her request. So we are honoring that. Jan and I, we haven't thought about it or talked about it, but we're honoring the National Board Chair's request that we keep that confidential. So that's the answer to your first question. I don't understand the second question. Can you please repeat it?
I think it was already answered.
I think it was asked
no,
and answered
yeah,
many times.
The recommendations of the National Election Supervisor had to do with listeners lists and staff lists and how that would compromise our standing as a nonprofit. And all of this stuff, I must say, is going to be adjudicated by the law.
Orders of the day.
Yeah.
Okay, I decline to answer
okay.
that question.
Orders of the day
Why?
Have been called for.
It's already been
hold on.
Asked and answered previously.
Okay, yeah.
There is another public.
Orders, yeah. There will be. Absolutely, Bella. You got that.
Okay.
I will not avoid that. I will not attempt to avoid that. However, I would, although orders of the day have been called for, the person who called for them was not recognized. So I'm going to finish the stack, as I said that I was going to. Fernando, your turn.
That's a very hard act to follow. I want to try. I have two questions. Quoting our new executive director, Maxie Jackson, roughly 10% of our listeners become subscribers. Roughly 10% of those subscribers get to vote. So this body is a very small fragment, a fraction of Pacifica listeners. As Ian Masters put it once, and I know I'm going to infringe in the limitations and the patience of some of my fellow board members here that do not allow to frame the question properly. These dictators of the minority, as Ian Masters calls it, because we are a democratic group here. The question is why we're not following the protocol here, even though we are the 10%.
Is it for the directors?
We are falling into the same trap that Ken Aaron is trying to set up. We are not allowed to frame the question properly because we're not. Can I ask the question?
Stop it.
My question is the following: for the last 10 years, many of the key players of this body have been influencing the process of hiring and firing of people, especially on the finances on Pacifica. Why is it that we have financial problems that we need to go to an outside entity? Because we have failed. And that speaks to itself. Can somebody ask me why? Instead of punishing and recognizing the fact that the key players of this body made a mistake of hiring finances experts that failed.
I
why we have to go to this outside body?
Sounded to me like you just answered your own question.
No.
You said why did we hire? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm trying to figure out what the question is. Okay. So what you said was, why did we have to hire someone from an outside agency? And then you said it's because we screwed up our own finances. And I'm like, excuse me, no talk from the audience. So I got that. That was the answer to your question.
So, but is the fact that this body, even though it holds the majority of the votes, it refuses to recognize that they should admonish or punish or do something about the mistake that were made. And what is your action? You pretend that it didn't happen and go to an outside entity. That's my problem with you guys. Why don't you recognize it? That's
my first question. Why don't we recognize that? Why don't we recognize what?
The mistake you made.
That you made the finances. You chose the wrong people to run the finances, and now you're going to the outside agency because you failed miserably.
Okay. So
why you not recognize that?
This is not a question for the director. For the directors,
you know, there are three members of this body that had a lot to do with it. That's why you don't want to say it.
No. Your question was answered last month at our meeting last month, after the finance report.
Should
I go to my second question? You refuse to answer the first one. Can I go to my second question?
It's not a question and answer for me. It's for the directors.
Well, since you have so many objections to my question, I'm addressing to you.
I can't understand your question, Mr. Blasco.
Because you refuse to acknowledge the fact that you've been working and conspiring with the same people that made the mistakes. That's why. But let me go to my second question.
Please.
Ms. Erin has a solution.
Not
an answer.
You're out of order.
It takes you an hour to speak.
Bella, sit down. Myla, be quiet. Fernando, you got the. Thank you, Steve. Okay. I'm trying to allow you to ask your second question.
We already decided collectively, this body, the National Board, decided to violate the law and go beyond December. Now we're into the January for the 2019 election. What's the difference if we run the election now or in September? What's the big difference? You're going to end the law anyway.
Again, I think these questions have been asked and answered, but Ms. Erin.
No, they have not.
I would like to say that Jan Goodman and I came on the board after a big hiatus in 2016. The financial problems became really egregious in 2014 and 2015. That's when we stopped doing audits. That's when we stopped having elections. Directors extended their own terms. The people on the board were not Jan, not me, not Ken, not anybody here. The people on the board at that time, the executive director was Lydia Brazone. The chair of the board was not any of us. The CFO... was not chosen by any of us here. The financial difficulties happened under your watch. The watch of your allies. And ask Michael Novick, who was the chair of the National Finance Committee for part of that time. Why were there no audits done? Why were the financial records not kept in proper order? Ask the past administration, not us. We've been straightening it out and fixing it. That's what we've been doing. So take a look in the mirror, all of you.
We need to work together for the future at this point.
Thank you very much. I wanted to get that on the record. Thank you very much, Ray. Thank you, Jamie.
Okay, thank you, Fernando. Reza, you're next.
Yeah, something is, you know, I refer to all of you that you were members. KPFA used to have program on different venue of the city. A Spanish programmer coming, but I have the list. A Spanish programmer. What's the matter with you? Sit down!
Shut up!
Hey, no, I don't tolerate this kind of people.
Let him finish. Reza. Finish. Pay attention to that, clown. Just go ahead and finish.
Provocateur!
Reza, continue.
Thank you.
Wrapping up with the
crazy. Programmer, they were in different part of the city. I could name that a Spanish programmer coming with $1,300, $1,400, $1,500 because the program was donated to the people. So what happened? The program was changed. You know, Eon Master, you know, all these, you know, so-called agent of imperialism were, you know, continuing to have program. Please, the best thing is we could, you know, as an outreach member, we could do it financially helping and bring the program back to the station in every corner of city. None of you don't know us. We are on every Friday on the corner of the Echo Park and Sunset with our banner passing out, you know, a Spanish program and everything. We could continue and promise to bring money to the station.
Okay. I have a point of question, Mr. Port.
Mr. Port, you still have the floor. Do you have a question for the directors?
My question is that they are planning to keep this, you know, board member still on. No, we have to have election.
Yeah. So the question is, are we planning to keep the board members on, or are we planning to have elections? Can we answer that quickly? Either of the directors?
I think I can speak for Jan and myself. We're going to do everything humanly possible to make sure that a national election supervisor is hired in March for the 2019 election. Yes. As soon as this one is done. In March, per the bylaws, and that the election timeline will be exactly per the bylaws next year.
You're out of order. Roberta, you're next.
She's in the restroom.
Okay. So in that case, I'm going to go on to the next item of business, Treasurer's Report.
Be out of order.
You're not go ahead. What's your point of order?
My point of order is the disgracing the quorum of this body. You have the clown over there laughing, and now I'm breaking the quorum. You have everybody jumping on people, and you, Chair, as facilitating the meeting, you don't allow people to develop their questions. You apparently, you already met before the meeting, or last week sometime, or whenever you met to gather about strategy for this meeting. But you, Chair, tolerate the kind of behavior of the quorum, under the quorum of this body, and that's a disgrace, and it's a reflection on you, Chair, as a chair, to start being more even and fair-handed when it comes to admonishing people like some of these clowns that are around the table to stop laughing at people when they're asking their questions or interrupting them.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Reyes. Point taken. I would ask people not to laugh at other people. Not to make fun of other people. We need to be respectful of everyone.
Questions, Jeff.
Okay.
I'm not. You can laugh all you want. This is America, apparently. So you can laugh all you want. It's when they developing questions, you cutting them off, some clowns laughing, some people interrupting. That's not what's within quorum, Chair.
Thank you. Point well taken. Okay. Let's move on to the Treasurer's Report.
Okay. I do have to preamble. How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? First take the plank out of your eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from the brother's eye. Okay? So I try to apply that, and I think we all could. All right, so I distributed the treasurer's report electronically, but if those, we have copies up here. I don't have 24, so if anybody wants them, they can come get them, including the public. But I will read this for the record, and I will try to be rapid, and please hold your questions until I'm done. First, the background on the network activities. There are no numbers to present to this section, but it is an issue I am actively trying to remedy. See the request for information at the end. There were five main actions planned to correct the financial morass Pacifica Finances had denigrated to. One, convert the threat of seizure by the Empire State Trust to a manageable financial debt. Two, complete the audits and reapply for CPB funding. Three, stabilize management. Four, stabilize accounting. Five, increase listenership, membership, and donations up to a level that will financially support the network. Number one, avoiding the threat of seizure has been accomplished by converting the debt to a loan capitalized by Pacifica Real Estate. Note, the debtor, Empire State Trust, was increasing the debt at a higher rate than the interest rate obtained at the of the loan. Number two, completing the delinquent audits. This is in process and nearing completion. The 2016 audit has been completed and posted at Pacifica.org, and the 2017 audit is nearing completion, as we heard in the last report. Once the 2017 audit is complete, we will start the 2018 audit. This refers to the Pacifica, all Pacifica units, not just KPFK. There's five stations, Pacifica Radio Archives, the National Office, and so there's like seven business units. Number three, stabilizing management is in process with a new executive director who has extensive radio experience, that's Maxie Jackson, and a new general manager and program director at KPFK. Four, stabilizing accounting is progressing as Great Plains has been updated and the National Education and Telecommunications Association has been engaged and contracted. They will oversee and in some cases directly participate in our financial management at all units, including in the national office. Their services will extend to human resources, support, and computer enterprise activities. We are still not getting proper financial reporting. See the request for information at the bottom, which I, as the KPFK treasurer, sent to NETA and the national office. Five, increasing listenership is beginning in the form of the access to Nielsen ratings and program changes at KPFK. These changes have not yet borne fruit. Now I'm going to be talking about KPFK. With due respect from the full body of the board.
Could we still have quorum?
That's fine.
If we don't have quorum, then I would suggest that we have a quorum call, and if we don't have quorum, that this meeting be adjourned.
I have a question. What are they doing?
You can have a quorum call.
Jamie,
why did they leave?
I don't know. Who's a parliamentarian?
Well,
let me just complete. I have one page to complete here.
That's not for Robert Schultz of Water.
Yes, you can. Call for quorum at any time. Okay. And if you do not have a quorum, the meeting should be adjourned.
If they're going to call again,
you don't have to call for quorum, but you can call for quorum. If somebody calls for quorum, and you see that you only have...
We got quorum now, 13, 14. 15.
Came back in.
We had 11 members, you're right.
Okay, so I'm going to continue. So that was about the general network. Now this is about KPFK. Now I'm going to try and simplify this so we don't get mystified by the numbers. KPFK's fiscal year 2019 budget was submitted to the LSB and approved. This was submitted to the National Finance Office but has not yet been approved. Now, in summary, the fiscal year 2018 actual numbers show this is the actual income, not the budget, for the fiscal year of 2018, which ended in September of, ends in October of 2018. September 31st, right, of 2018, okay. The total revenue, $3,293,082. The total expenses, $3,285,886. Which includes $500 to Central Services, leaving us a net profit of $7,216. We were in the black.
Yay.
Okay. However, comparing these numbers to the budget, which was what we intended to have happen, it shows on the bad side that we overestimated $577,000 of revenue. And on the other hand, on the good side, we underspent $107,000 of expenses. We overestimated expenses by $107,000. So, additionally, and I'm going to get to a conclusion here. Additionally, fund drives in the first quarter of fiscal year 2019, that's October, November, and December of 2018, came in under the goals that were set for those fund drives by approximately $100,000 in the October and December fund drives. So, that isn't... it's not so much against the budget, but it's against the goals. We didn't meet the goals. I'm presenting a motion into this LSB to have the GM, the business manager, address this by making adjustments to the fiscal 2019 budget using realistic revenue estimates and targeting at least $100,000 in net profit. And then the motion follows.
You mean increase?
And yes. Next is the KPFK Finance Committee passed a motion to add an expense item to the budget addressing the upcoming payments on the real estate loan, which will also be in the motion. See below. And, oh, we do have it here. I thought I didn't have it. Okay, great. So I can make this motion now. And
one moment, Ken. Go
ahead. Yes, I'd like to call.
I recognize Barbara.
I'd like to call orders of the day.
Orders
please.
Of the day. We have time certain for set for 12:30. We need 15 minutes for public comments. We need to proceed with public comments at this time.
Time certain to 1 o'clock.
2 minutes.
Yeah, I moved to time certain to 1 o'clock.
There's a motion to move time certain to 1 o'clock. It's going to require 2/3 vote. Mr. Secretary. Can we take a vote?
Well, see if anybody objects.
Are there any objections? Yes. There was an objection. I heard it. Okay.
One.
Mr. Secretary, let's take a vote.
I'm moving to
about
12
minutes.
A
motion that was about to be heard.
But the motion was not on the floor.
Point of order. Motion in a treasurer's report, this comes out of the Finance Committee. And motions coming out of the Finance Committee, any committee, are legitimate and should be taken up. I would like to make a substitute amendment that we extend this section of the agenda for 10 minutes so that we can vote. I mean, this is something we need to vote on. It's important.
Well, you have an hour.
It's the only thing we're doing of substance today.
We need to hear the public. If we want to, we've got 17 minutes left until time certain. So let's vote on extending time certain.
Yeah.
Because we have to have 15 minutes for...
I want to amend the time certain by adding 10 minutes.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
So it's 12.
So it's the motion.
It requires 2/3 of the people here to extend. Let's go, Mr.
All right.
Secretary.
All those in favor of extending time certain until 12:40, please raise 12. Your hands.
No,
the 1 o'clock. Till 1 o'clock. The motion was
1 o'clock. Michael, it's 1 o'clock.
No.
Jamie, tell him it's 1 o'clock.
I amended it.
It's 12. We're going to take the substitute motion.
All right,
first.
12:40. Okay, all those in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hold on. My motion's on the floor. You just said 2.
12:40. All those in favor of extending to 12:40.
1 o'clock.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10, 11. Steve, you're not, and Maggie.
Chair?
Okay,
are you voting? 12:40? What?
I just can't stay.
Okay. So, opposed?
Okay.
Chair?
Just so we can get the motion passed.
Yeah. So,
all right, so we've got.
The substitute. You're voting on the substitute, not the main motion.
That's correct.
All those opposed? Opposed? 1, 2, 3.
It failed.
Now you're voting on the main motion.
No,
all right.
Becomes the main motion.
So I have.
Yeah, that becomes the main motion. Okay, excuse me. Thank you.
Was this 2/3?
Okay, I have 13 in favor, 3 opposed.
That's 2/3.
Okay, Mr. Aaron, let's hear your motion.
Okay, the motion. Whereas the fiscal year 2018 actual final amounts showed that fiscal year 2018 budget overestimated revenue by $577,000, whereas the fund drives in the first quarter of fiscal year 2019 underperformed by at least $100,000, whereas KPFK, along with the other stations, will have to start making interest payments on the $3,200,000 real estate loan. Therefore, the KPFK LSB requests that the general manager and the business manager modify the fiscal year 2019 budget to adjust for realistic revenue estimates, add an allocation to set aside at least $4,000 per month for repayment of the real estate loan to be set aside in reserve, and lastly, plan on a net profit after central services but before depreciation of at least $100,000, and that this modified budget be presented to the KPFK Finance Committee no later than the 1st of March, 2019. That's the motion.
Okay.
To make up the
all in favor?
All right.
Let's vote on the motion.
It doesn't need a second. It's coming out of committee.
No, it's okay. No, no, it isn't.
Okay. Yes, second.
Second.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of having KPFK and the was it also the National Board or just,
no, just KPFK.
KPFK change their budget? Raise your hands.
Adjust their budget.
Adjust their budgets.
To increase by 100,000.
All right. All those in favor of having the station adjust their budgets per Ken Aaron's motion. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Myla, 11. Anyone? All right. 11 in favor. All those opposed, please raise your hands and keep them up. 1, 2, 3.
Abstentions.
Three opposed. Abstentions. 1, 2.
Can I change my yes to an abstention?
Mr. Chairman, can she change?
Okay, motion passes.
Motion passes. 11, 4, 3 opposed, 2 abstain.
Okay, very good. If we can go to public comments at this time.
Were you listening to the football game? Yeah. Okay. My name is Layla. Hi.
Quiet, please.
I'm not a sustaining member, but I could be. I'm here representing a group of community members that are protesting the firing of Jerry Quickly. We have started a petition. We have about 160 signatures. We have created a press release that we have sent out to about 160 members of the press, which I would also like to forward to this group. He is currently in union negotiations with the station because he was removed improperly.
His contract expired.
Right, that is not under SAG-AFTRA.
Yes, Steve, no crosstalk, please.
So I will address you, the chairman. SAG-AFTRA union rules. They run parallel to his contract, and whichever has the most beneficial terms is the one that governs. So that is what you guys are currently going to be negotiating with him. So it's not about an expiring of a contract. And there's two reasons why this should be of deep concern to this group. One, you're disenfranchising a public audience that cares about his voice. You are showing that you're removing your most highly rated program when that is in violation of all of the goals that you should be having. You could be bolstering that to achieve all the other goals that you have of listenership and membership. He's a very effective fundraiser for his show. And beyond that, he... He's not. Okay. And beyond that, it will be a liability for you guys if the station
Jim,
continues.
Can you manage Sandy for video outbursts?
Okay. Yeah, no crosstalk. Let's respect the public. Okay. Everyone, please continue.
So secondly, it should also be a concern because you guys, the radio station is getting rid of him in an improper way that is in violation of the SAG-AFTRA collective bargaining agreement, and it could be a financial burden for you guys if it ends up becoming a deeper issue that is not resolved through negotiation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next. Hi, my name is Corazon del Sol. I'm a long time, maybe 20... Over
Speak 20, louder, we can't hear.
I'm a over 20-year listener. I pledge every year to Pacifica, and I'm also here to support Jerry Quickly. It's been really sad to see what's happened to this radio station. It's basically, it's a tragedy of the left, honestly. It's completely dysfunctional. It has zero relevancy. I'm a culture producer. I'm a successful culture producer in Los Angeles and globally. The audience that you guys are kind of imagining that you're working for is an extinct audience. The audiences that are really there and who could actually support your station and who could actually meet all the goals, the financial goals, the goals of reach outreach, of cultural outreach, the goals of being relevant at this moment, Pacifica's not, KPFK is not relevant. It's stopped being relevant. And one of the most only relevant programs that you guys have is the Jerry Quigley program. And everybody that I know listens to him. And everybody that I know, you say that his, you know, you're saying that he's not a good fundraiser. He is a good fundraiser. And he has so much, such a huge support in this city and nationally. Of an entire of an entire underground political network that's brown. It's not white and old. And it doesn't reflect most of the people in this room. And you guys are having to deal. You have to fucking grapple with the fact that you're becoming irrelevant. And this, and the one, and if you fire Jerry, that's going to be the last straw. You guys are going to, I've watched you guys the last 10 years constantly trying to reclaim your relevancy and constantly not being able to. This is a dire mistake. And I don't want you guys to do it because I care about Pacifica and I care about Jerry.
Our power to you.
Okay, thank you, Corazon. Mike?
I would venture to say that removing Quigley show on the air also violates the general procedures for programming changes. It's supposed to be reviewed. You pointed out that the Program Oversight Committee doesn't exist, so that's a failure on your part. Of enforcing a fair programming decision-making process to the station. I would second everything they said about relevance. A few things I would say. Ken will remember several years ago we were on a task force, technology task force of the Pacifica National Board. This is before I was on the National Board, but I was a member of the task force, being a member of the LSB. And we were trying to... assess and propose the idea of coming up with a suite that covered both finances and membership, because both existing methods that were being used were failing dismally. This is probably at least 6 years ago. So the MEMSIS system has different patches at every station in the network and is incapable of producing up-to-date current reports on your membership. And the Great Plains system doesn't interface with it, so there's no way to connect your membership and your finances to produce valid reports. So if you're hiring this outside agency, maybe you can use that as an opportunity to come up with a suite of programs in the 21st century that actually combine membership and finances so that you can remind people that their membership is due to expire and keep up-to-date and current lists. So that, and that is also a violation of California Corporation Code. You're supposed to have an up-to-date list of your members available for perusal at the headquarters. And Pacific has failed over and over again to do that, and with the consequences that we've seen, both for staff and for listeners. The other solution is this body should have elected provisional officers for the coming year at your December meeting, and you should have elected provisional directors to the National Board at this meeting with the understanding that when whatever election process is validated, then those would be revisited and replaced.
Thank you, Mr. Novick. Hi, Diego. If you can get rid of the Jerry Quigley program appropriately through the proper protocols, I would recommend it. I only listened to it a few times, but I didn't think it was very good. The times I listened, he was talking about Trump, which I didn't think was very helpful, didn't get much new information out there or propel people to act. So that's my opinion. I dislike the Jerry Quigley show. I also dislike the Ian Master show for similar reasons. He mainly talks about Trump without providing new or useful information.
Thank you, Diego.
Good point. Mike?
Hi, my name is Mike. Previously, years ago, I worked with KPFA and then KPFK. Of course, you are worse than them. In a lot of policies, you are worse than them. But the one important thing I want to bring it up is that you are advertising Democratic Party agenda on airways of KPFK by Mansour. Why you don't stop that shit? That's against every mission statement, policies, California Corporation Code, everything.
Because if you go to FCC and we complain, they might even take your license away. But they, you just come over there and advertise the Democratic Party criminals' agenda. Why? What do you want to do? You want to destroy KPFK like other stations, other ones that we have in trouble now? When election hold last time, you had the new election, we raided the committees to destroy them. You raided, especially outreach committee. You couldn't achieve it, fortunately. But why are you doing that? Why you gain? You what? You are capitalist? You supporting what Trump's agenda? Are you supporting the fascism? What are you guys doing? You are a board member here, and you like deaf. You don't hear what's going on.
Thank you, Mike.
Well said, Mike. Thank you.
Good afternoon, John, KPFK listener sponsor. Let's see, number three. We have an. I'd like to thank the board for doing the meetings to have a new GM and a new program director, because we've been waiting for those for a long time, and those are two of the strongest powers this board has, so I commend you on actually accomplishing that. Number four, I always disagree with Bella. If there's a debate about whether we want strip programming at the station, I'm for it. We need strip programming. There's never been a broadcast entity in history that survived without strip programming. The thing about radio, the thing about broadcasting that's unique is that you can do other things while you listen to the radio. And therefore, radio can be integrated into the rhythm of your daily life the way other communication forms and other entertainments can't. And smart broadcasters always create their program to go with the time of day. That's why we have Saturday morning cartoons for kids. That's why we have drive time radio. That's why they used to have soap operas in the mornings, because they thought that's where the audience was. Radio Pacifica needs to do the same thing. You need people to have a radio habit, and the way you get people into a habit is through repetition, and the way you do repetition in radio is through strip programming. So I support having 5-day-a-week things. I don't think having more voices is actually better. If you have so many voices, I think a station loses some focus. You need radio and television rely on broadcast personalities, and we have to elevate those personalities to attract an audience, so I'm for strip programming. When it's good programming. Grace said the PNB Governance Committee has not been meeting regularly. Thank God, because in my experience, the PNB historically specializes in passing motions that are scrupulously ignored by everybody. And these come out of the Governance Committee. They just make up stuff. Like they make up, oh, let's have program councils. Every station's going to have a program council now where you need a new election and new boards. And they've been totally ignored. No one's done these program councils. So the fact that the government can, we need a moratorium on passing motions designed just to tinker with our internal procedures. The most important problem now is stabilizing the foundation financially. On the matter of Jerry Quigley, I've heard the two advocates, and it isn't clear to me why Jerry Quigley was released. You make it sound like that it was improper, but you didn't give me enough details to understand that. I heard someone say his contract expired. Well, did it or didn't it? If a contract expires, you don't have to automatically renew it. It wasn't clear to me, so I'll have to learn more.
He's also bound by the rules of the SAG-AFTRA collective bargaining agreement, and there's only three ways for him to be removed from his program, which is to be fired, properly laid off, or to quit.
And you claim none of those happen.
Not renewing a contract is not one of those.
Does that constitute for the protocol?
Okay, well, my saying is when a contract expires, you don't have to negotiate a new contract. You can just say, thank you.
It's his contract because he has seniority, so it was written into his contract.
Okay, well, I have to hear about these things.
You did not know that, John.
I agree. I didn't know. That's why I want to hear. I want to learn about it.
Are you done?
No, I'm going to run out the clock today. You need to introduce time limits for speakers for both the board and for loudmouths like me. Remember, the LSB will have to schedule a delegates meeting when you do have. So be sure to be in touch, sure to know when the elections are final, and then you have to schedule delegates meetings so you can elect new PNB members. And I think you'll have committee elections too.
Thank you, Mike. Is that it?
Yeah. John. That's John.
John
Kerry.
Thank you, John Michael.
Thank you. Bella, please.
Yeah. Last speaker. For many years, I've been fighting strip programming, which has nothing to do with Jerry Quigley. And Jerry thinks that that it is. I protect very quickly for the right of his program because he has a very different programming, and I've been listening to him for many years. However, I do.
Can you speak to the board?
Yeah. However, I do agree with our friend here, Diego, that said in the two occasions I had to be at the station, Jerry quickly was promoting more stealth ammunition for the United States to protect itself, challenge Russia. Is that language that someone like Jerry quickly should be parlaying? And the other day he was talking about the same thing as Ian Masters, talking about Trump, the criminality, and all this bullshit. Now that's not what Jerry quickly used to do years ago when I began listening to him. And that's when KPFK was very strong. I want to talk about QuickBooks. How many times for Agnosium I have been promoting and offering to teach anyone on QuickBooks, Intuit QuickBooks, whereas then the accounts receivable, the cash receipts, then gets interfaced with all the rest of the accounting modules. It is the one program that can also handle and suffice each unit individually while operating as a general umbrella. So QuickBooks, if you had the interest, and this going years ago, so it's not necessarily new, then you would look into it as a liable position to adopt instead of taking all our financial information and dumping it, sending it somewhere. And Jen, when you were talking about doing that, you do not understand because you're not a bookkeeper. What is entailed of gathering all the information departmentalized? And I doubt very much that this company is going to be having a dedicated person to do the detail that is needed when the vendors need to be called back. The billing system of Pacifica is not the billing system of a corporation, a for-profit. It's a very different, it's an installment situation. It's an advanced situation. It operates somewhat like lawyer, like attorneys. It's a very different billing situation where you get a premium and you may not pay it for some time. This company is not aware, does not understand the nature of the billing system of Pacifica, in particular KPFK. So you need to consider that. I also wanted to say, is the chair back? Mr. Chair, last month I made a presentation to this board regarding the coalition that's growing tremendously, Ending Homelessness Now, which has had an incredible successful event on the 13th of January. It was incredible. Organizations came from all over, San Pedro, up north, from Orange County, because they understand that homelessness is affecting their backyards everywhere. And we're only talking California. We're only talking L.A., the L.A. County. I gave you an endorsement sheet. You promised that you would bring that up to the board. And guess who has joined the coalition now? Summer Reese. So isn't that interesting? So, and I'm glad she's there. And she's learning, and she's going to be cooperating as well. We have got to end homelessness now, folks. This affects us, all of us. Affects our economics, our social structure, and our politics. So when we concentrate on something so important, KPFK should be adopting this and saying, yes, we stand firmly. We want to be part of the solution. And the solution that this coalition is demanding is repurposing all the vacant properties owned by city, state, by Board of Education, Board of Supervisors, City Hall, by LAUSD, Metro. There are abandoned ships that can be converted with supportive services. We demand supportive services when needed for people that need supportive services. Otherwise, they simply cannot stay on a permanent home. We demand permanency, not shelters, not patchwork, right? And this is what government officials are always promoting, patchwork. We are tired of this. This only endures the agony of the homeless situation. So I want KPFK's board to get on board, do the right thing, ask questions, get educated on the issues. And so my question to you, Chair, is, again, I gave you the information last time.
Your information was forwarded to all the LSP members.
Good. And so when may we or can there be some sort of... Again, it's not me. This is about ending homelessness now. Okay. So when... What is the time?
This isn't a conversation. You're just making your public comment.
Right. Right. So, again, so I urge all board members to get on board because this is too important, and KPFK should not be left behind on this issue. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's one comment. Can I just... I'm making an
amendment. Please
put us on. One of the things that we didn't mention, which was part of Jerry's firing, is said to be economic, and there's been an organization that's offered to pay his entire yearly salary. So that is, it's
a 50. That's incredible.
Yeah, and so the argument that it's about
economics
is a false argument. It doesn't stand. So I'm just we're really pushing that you guys maintain him. And I can also commit that like if you keep Jerry on, people like us who have a lot of cultural clout, who are younger,
very big networks,
huge networks, can come and we can work with you guys and we can support and we can try and help to make things more relevant.
The other thing, too, is the threat of getting rid of the Spanish language programming, which is part of our petition. And the other issue, because I've been sitting as an observer and I actually sat in the programmers' meeting on December 12th and listened to Maxie Jackson and I listened to Kevin. And what's interesting also is this issue of the delay of the elections. I see that you guys are in violation of California codes, but there's also the issue of a lack of representation because you guys, the radio station basically doesn't allow those Spanish language programs to build a constituency.
Correct.
And so when Maxie was addressing this in the larger meeting with the program, he essentially is admitting that this next board is going to be a sham board that doesn't really reflect the community that should be represented by the station. And what a shame. What a shame that collectively we're failing protecting this public asset and having it reflect the people it's supposed to. And there are people like Corazon and myself that are engaged, that care. There are a lot of people that listen to Jerry's program that feel disenfranchised by it being taken off the air. It's being taken off in a very
violent
and corrupt kind of a way. It's just been
it echoes what's happening culturally right now in so many places.
At the LA Public Library Foundation with the two directors there that got fired, it's happening at all of our cultural institutions where
all
the most progressive voices are being cut off. Everything is becoming
it's hard to say
that this group is becoming more conservative or leaning towards fascism, but basically culturally if you zoom out, that's what's happening. And please don't let that happen to this station.
No.
Thank you for your comments. We've reached time certain. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Chair, I want to serve notice.
So
I want to serve notice.
So
and I will be providing.
There is a motion
report.
To adjourn, so nothing yes, else is to be heard.
Providing a minority report.
There is a motion to adjourn. Is there anyone opposed to the motion to adjourn?
Aye.
There is an opposition to adjourn. So. Okay.
We're done, right?
Yes, sir.
Can you say
so the meeting is adjourned?
Okay. Meeting's hereby adjourned.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jamie, for running.
Informal information, everybody, if you don't know the ballot.